Welcome to the Doc Talk Podcast. I'm Kevin Kunzman, Managing Editor of HCP Live. A discussion that was likely to lead most that would have occurred at the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology annual meeting had it occurred last month was the continued development of interleukin-targeting biologics. More than a half dozen agents have come to the forefront of severe atopic disease care, with each showing differing benefit for multiple conditions and marketed indication pursuits across the spectrum of type 2 inflammatory diseases. Among those competitive biologics is tezepelumab, a TSLP inhibitor which has shown significant benefit for severe asthma and atopic dermatitis. Tezepelumab was granted breakthrough therapy designation for severe asthma in late 2018 and has since been clinically observed in additional atopic diseases. Results and findings from such trials were planned for discussion at QuadAI, but are now embargoed for journal publication. So today we speak to allergist Dr. Jonathan Korn, a fellow with QuadAI and a lead investigator in tezepelumab clinical assessments. Dr. Korn details the biologic's makeup, its effect on differing atopic patient populations, and where else the promising therapy could be of clinical use in the coming years. We hope you enjoy. So Dr. Korn, if we could just start off by talking a little bit about where current clinical understanding of tezepelumab stands in terms of what is it being assessed for, and even what is its potential?
So as a little background, we've come to a realization that a lot of the type 2 inflammatory diseases do start with the epithelium, and a variety of airborne exposures, whether it be allergen or virus or pollutant, including tobacco smoke, or other potential insults, can affect the epithelium and both cause some disruption of epithelial function, such as a loss of the barrier function that it serves in keeping things out of the body. But along with that, there is an upregulation of certain key cytokines that emanate from the epithelium, and these are referred to as a general class as alarmins. And these alarmins include thymic stromal lymphopoietin, or TSLP, interleukin-33, and interleukin-25. Probably some of the most intensive work, including the development of new inhibitors, would be most relevant to TSLP, which we've just referred to. And the first candidate molecule that's actually now in clinical trials to bind and block the effects of TSLP is a drug called tezepelumab, which is given systemically by the subcutaneous route. And we know that TSLP is really relevant from the perspective that it's very critical in allowing the full maturation of naive Th cells, what we call Th0 cells, into becoming allergen-specific Th2 cells. So TSLP plays an additional role in upregulating the functioning of innate lymphoid cells type 2, or ILC2 cells. It has a strong effect on upregulating the function of mast cells, and probably some effects on what we call T regulatory cells, which are very important cells that produce something called interleukin-10, which help counterbalance the effects of allergy. It's probably an autoregulatory mechanism for dampening down the processes that lead to the production of IgE. So with all of that as a background, we know that TSLP plays a very central upstream role in allowing these immune processes to take place. What was found in the very first study of tezepelumab given to patients with asthma is that it had a very powerful effect in both reducing the immediate and late phase response to inhaled allergen challenge. And along with that, there was a reduction in sputum eosinophils, blood eosinophils, and exhaled nitric oxide, all of which are important biomarkers and end products for the type 2 inflammatory system. A second trial was conducted with tezepelumab, wherein a large group of patients with severe persistent asthma who required moderate to high doses of inhaled corticosteroids plus long-acting beta agonists, and were treated for a period of 52 weeks. These included patients both who had type 2 asthma with an elevation in eosinophil counts, as well as non-type 2 patients, patients who did not have markers of the type 2 pathway. And in that study, in patients who had both type 2 as well as non-type 2 asthma, there was a clear and significant reduction in serious or severe exacerbations of asthma in those patients.
Wow. And that was over 52 weeks, you said?
That was over 52 weeks, correct.
Wow.
Along with that, there were improvements in lung function and in asthma control as measured by the ACQ questionnaire and asthma-related quality of life. So that drug has now moved into a phase 3 large trial, which I believe is nearing completion. Now, because of the effects on this wide variety of immune cells, it's been speculated that tezepelumab and the inhibition of TSLP functioning might have an immune regulatory role, potentially long-lasting effects on allergic disease, including asthma. So a trial was undertaken by the NIH and the Immune Tolerance Network, which studied patients with cat allergic rhinitis and were treated with either tezepelumab plus cat immunotherapy alone, tezepelumab alone or placebo, over a period of 1 year. It was followed by a year of observation in which patients did not receive therapy, but we continued to study their responses to allergen. The primary endpoint in the study was the total nasal symptom score elicited by a nasal challenge to cat dander. And along with that, a wide-ranging number of immune parameters were looked at, including serum cytokine levels, nasal mediators and cytokines, RNA for cytokines, and both total and specific IgE. At the present time, we are completing our final analyses of that, but should have complete reportable data over the next 3 to 4 months.
Wow, and that's particularly interesting because, I think it's not news right now, really, that biologics are now being considered for particular allergies, but I haven't really heard too much about, the assessment into cat allergy so far. What particularly about its makeup would designate it for potential and a potentially provable efficacy in that space?
Well, the purpose of the study where we administered these various combinations of therapy and measured the response by nasal cat allergen challenge was to just, it was a proof of concept to see whether there were persistent effects of immunotherapy plus a TSLP blocker after the cessation of therapy. So the nasal allergen challenges were given during the year off of therapy as well as during therapy. I don't know if I made that clear. So we have the primary endpoint of the study is the 2 year time point, 1 year after stopping therapy. So we look to see whether people a year after stopping any of their therapies would still have a potential reduction in the nasal response to cat. Cat's a common allergen. It's easy to find people who are cat allergic. The intention of the study was not necessarily to develop the drug for people with allergic rhinitis, but was really a test case. For determining whether there might be persistent effects on allergic pathophysiology by combining a cat-specific immunotherapy plus the inhibitor of TSLP. So, and then if that turns out to be the case, that there is, in fact, an additive effect of these two that allows patients to have a persistent reduction in allergic responsiveness, then it may make sense to, look at patients who have bronchial asthma in a separate study.
And the other part that stood out when discussing, its assessment for asthma, and it sort of just stands out to me from previous discussions I've had about other biologics, but not this one, was it's 52-week assessment, because it's sort of been stressed to me a little bit that these aren't necessarily being considered or should be considered for long-term effect and benefit or continued dosing. Is there something different with tezepelumab?
With all the biologics, we don't know the exact amount of time, how long the patient should be treated.
Okay.
And the same would apply to this drug. We're not yet aware of what would be the maximum length of therapy. Mm-hmm. Because the drug may have very profound effects at modifying the type 2 inflammatory response, mm-hmm. We'll have to, examine the possibility that you might be able to give it for shorter periods of time, but that is not yet well established.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's sort of the other aspect that comes up often in biologic use is this is an add-on. This is reserved for the more severe patients, and it's
exactly
yeah usually
brief. That's right.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting, and and in considering its utility again for type 2 inflammation, that has a lot of implication for a lot of conditions that the very same patient could suffer from all of, beyond allergies and asthma. Do you imagine there's going to be consideration for indications beyond those after these trials?
Yeah, I think that certainly the TSLP pathway mm-hmm. is extremely important. In all likelihood, to a lot of these type 2 inflammatory diseases. Mm-hmm. So one could potentially imagine that it would be important in atopic dermatitis, mm-hmm. chronic rhinosinusitis with polyposis, eosinophilic esophagitis, and some of the complications of asthma, mm-hmm. such as allergic bronchopulmonary aspergillosis and eosinophilic granulomatosis, mm-hmm. with polyangiitis, mm-hmm. also known as Churg-Strauss disease.
Okay, wow. That's a hell of a list.
It's a big list, I know. Oh, yeah. It is a big list.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, and regarding its safety, durability, is there anything that's known or presenting as sort of unique?
Well, we haven't seen any in the proof of concept study, mm-hmm. in the phase 2b asthma study, and in the what we call the catnip study, which mm-hmm. is where we gave it in combination with cat immunotherapy. We have not seen any kind of a real safety signal as of yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right, Doc. In terms of setting a baseline for this biologic, this I think is certainly useful. The only other thought I would have is, your interpretation of its real-world application in the near future. How do you imagine this is going to, benefit the prescribing physicians that are going to be handling and managing, patients who might be available for it? How is this going to benefit them?
Yeah, so asthma really is a sort of a range of syndromes, as you know, mm-hmm. spanning from what we would call the more prevalent patients mm-hmm. have what we would call type 2 asthma, mm-hmm. which is marked by an increase in blood eosinophils, sputum eosinophils, or exhaled nitric oxide. They probably comprise anywhere from 50 to 75% of asthmatics, and certainly account for a large proportion of the very severe asthmatics with frequent exacerbations. There are other current existing treatments for that group of asthmatics, including omalizumab for the allergic patients, the anti-IL-5 receptor drugs, or anti-IL-5s for eosinophilic asthma, along with anti-IL-4/13 receptor antibody for eosinophilic asthma. So I think that in that group of patients, we'll have to see how tezepelumab compares with the existing biologics. Where there is clearly an unmet need is in patients who have the remainder of asthmatics, the 25 to 50% of patients who have non-type 2 asthma. There is no real successful therapy in those patients, including corticosteroids.
Right.
And this is a heterogeneous group of patients that may have their disease by virtue of a number of possible pathophysiologic mechanisms.
Yeah.
But what stood out about the phase 2b study of tezepelumab is it was equally effective in reducing exacerbations in this non-type 2 group as in the type 2 group.
Yeah.
So this would be a go-to potential go-to medication for patients who have non-type 2 asthma.
Yeah, yeah. And just any further exploration of, these diverse, like you put, just differing pathways and understanding capabilities across them to have even an add-on option would be hugely beneficial, I'm sure. So
yeah, I think it would really help. There's a lot of patients who would really benefit from this.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you want to add regarding the biologic?
Not really.
No? Okay, that's all I really had in terms of questions, but thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to seeing this data when it comes out.
Thanks to Dr. Korn for his time and his insight. And for more on clinical allergic and asthma care, be sure to visit hcplive.com. For now, I'm Kevin Kunzman with HCP Live. Thanks for listening to Doc Talk.